Welcome back in for another hangout, everyone. We're getting a little bit of a late start, but we'll jump right into it. We're doing a little bit of a different format today. We're not going to be supported by our usual cartoon guy. If that causes anybody any heartburn, I suppose you can let me know in the comments. Today I'm going to just approach with a single topic. Today, I'll let the screen run a little bit and we can get the slide up. At least I think we can get the slide up. All right, there it is. But yeah, that's the question I was going to have a conversation about today. So there's a myth that you're going to have a better experience on a motorcycle if you're on a heavier bike. Sometimes there's even a belief that a heavier bike could even be easier to ride in not just some situations, but maybe all situations. Even thinking that maybe a heavier bike would be better for me to do my riding test before I receive my endorsement on my driver's license. And as I thought about this, you know, looking at does having more weight equal more stability, is it actually easier to ride? And the answer is actually it depends. One of the things often as people that are potential riders talk to me about what it is that they should buy or consider as they're getting into riding a motorcycle is that I tell them that you should think about the kind of riding that you want to do. A lot of times people will approach me and say, well, should I just get a small bike so that I can learn? And that isn't necessarily or inherently a bad idea, but you should also have a bike that is going to be able to do the kind of riding that you intend to do. If you're only intending to ride maybe to and from work a few miles every day or every other day or sometimes, that's very different than somebody who's thinking that I'm going to do like day after day, 500 miles a day, touring cross country or in some elongated or extended trip. And the bike that you could or would feel most comfortable using is going to depend on how you intend to use it. The bike that you don't ride very often or the bike that you don't ride very far likely is going to be more fun for you to actually get a smaller displacement bike. Something less than 600cc probably would be the bike that you would be looking to get if you want to just ride around town, run errands, or maybe even sometimes commute to work. If you're planning on doing, like I mentioned, those longer rides, something in a much heavier displacement is going to end up being more comfortable for you in order for you to eat up miles, stay comfortable, and not feel every moment of the road. The recommendation that I would make to people, especially that are planning on doing serious distance, is something in the ballpark of over 1,200 cc's typically is usually a good place to start if you're looking for something that's actually a cruiser. We have a comment that's coming in. He says this is Thunder Rock 18. He says this is the real consideration for those of us that live on the plains or in the commonly wind locations. A full fairing bike with a high center of gravity will have a harder time in the wind. Then to follow that up, that would be then a heavier low slung cruiser style bike. That is definitely true. One of the things that I like about the Road Glide that I ride for in long distances is actually not only its large engine and displacement, but in wind, having the fairing mounted to the frame actually helps to deal with crosswind. I ride in Wyoming and across across salt flats and deltas where there are no trees, there are basically nothing, and when the wind blows, the only thing for that wind to hit is you. And having a larger bike not only is going to be more comfortable, but is also, just like Thunder Rock says, is that when you're in those windy locations, having that extra weight and having that fixed fairing is going to help you to maintain a higher level of stability. Now, I also can say, riding that Road Glide, if I'm doing city riding or I'm in a lot of traffic, or if I'm on canyon roads, with tight twisties and things, I don't have as much fun as I would have if I were on a smaller displacement bike. I have a smaller Heritage Softail that, in those situations that I'm in those canyon roads or in that city traffic, I much prefer being on that lighter, smaller bike that I can. It's a bit more nimble, and also a little bit what I would call zippy. That having that lighter weight on the frame actually gives you that ability to stop and go quite a bit faster than you can on that larger bike. Let me take a look at who's with us right now. But so, like I mentioned at the beginning, I'm doing a very different format today. This is our question. My intention was mostly to interact with you and your comments. This was the topic around what does weight equal stability, and there is that heavy bike myth. And again, the answer is it depends. It depends on what you're doing, depends on what you intend to do, and how you intend to do it. Maneuvering a heavier bike sometimes can be a little bit easier in the sense that the bike itself and the controls of the bike have more of a difference on your maneuvers. On a smaller bike, things like your body position have a lot more impact in controlling the bike. Not that your body position on a heavier bike does nothing, but it does less. Another comment coming in that you can see, other consideration include wet weather, hydroplaning, cresting a mountain pass, and black ice. Those considerations, when you're dealing with what would be considered variable weather and road conditions, your smaller bikes are usually going to handle better than your larger bikes. The reason that most dirt bikes are lower displacement, smaller engines is for that very reason, that they are intended for you to be able to muscle them around, that you're able to, with your own body weight and your own muscular strength, you're able to force that bike into doing things that you need it to do. Bigger displacement bikes, those very tight types of maneuvers, especially when you're dealing with what might be considered variable environments, they're going to be much more difficult to maneuver in those situations. And quite honestly, especially if you're dealing with black ice, something that you can't hold up by yourself, a 900-pound bike or something in that arena is going to be very difficult to keep upright, especially when you're depending on your own leg in order to keep that third point of contact. I'm gonna let the slides advance a little bit. So my intention here is closing up on that first question. Now we're in what might still be considered the after party section. I'm willing to answer any questions that you might have that come through on the comments. So it's basically wild card, fair game. Whatever is in your imagination is something that you could ask, and I will entertain. And I'll give you a minute to type, as I know that I can talk probably faster than you can type, and then also have the delay coming back, that even after you send those in, it takes a little while for them to get to me, so that I can respond to them. But I'll go ahead and let you do that. While you're considering your questions, one of the things that I did want to bring up, this, if you have gone to the channel and looked at what might be coming up, you probably have seen that there is a video that is scheduled for a premiere on Saturday morning, coming up at the end of this week. That video is actually a collaboration between myself and the Grateful Glide. I don't, if you're familiar with that channel or not, you will at least get a chance to be introduced to the creator of the Grateful Glide. We did a collaboration where we had a single topic, and then collaborated on a video in order to provide some information in regard to how to gain confidence and be a better writer. But I would just say look forward to that coming early Saturday morning. It's a good one. It's all ready to go. It's buttoned up. And it's going to happen. The other video coming up, I'm not exactly sure when it'll launch. My goal is to have it ready to post before Wednesday morning. But it answers a question: why do bikers wear skulls? One of the things that I'm doing in conjunction with that is, well, first of all, is that it's an interesting topic, because if you look at motorcycle apparel that's been around forever and ever, you see skulls on everything. And sometimes we don't know why that is. But in the video, we'll be answering that question, why do bikers wear skulls? But that should be coming probably Wednesday morning is my target. But if not, it will definitely be out before Saturday. Inside that video, there's also a promotion for that collaboration. And then also there is an opportunity for viewers to receive a gift from the channel. There will be a type of a raffle that happens. I know Thunder Rock 18 already has one of these, but I'll be giving viewers an opportunity to collect a sticker that looks very much like the banner that you see in most of the videos that's hung behind me. So to answer a question that's coming through, which is the purpose of the after party, the question is, what is the ideal number of riders for a road trip, and how many days fit best? So I tend to find that if you have, the ideal number usually is two. for the sake of the ride, that usually ends up being the case. It's very easy to make sure that any communications or things that are happening between riders, it's easy if the number of riders is two. Sometimes communication can be described as easier than that if the number of riders is one. However, that's not a group ride. But I would say that groups of riders tend to get what I would consider too large. When you get above about eight or so riders, it becomes difficult in order to stay together, make sure you have appropriate communication. And then also just trying to maneuver inside of anything like traffic or traffic lights or whatever else trying to maintain cohesion inside that group starts to become difficult, especially when you have riders that are more novice and don't know the best way to stay in a group. The other reason I would say less than eight is also for a safety factor. The more people you throw into a group, the more you can end up into trouble, where you are dealing with the fact that you have varying levels of experience and responses to things. But I would say the sweet spot starts to diminish as you get larger than about eight riders. Things start to break down. As far as a little bit aside from the question is typically the distance that you can find that a group of that size can go inside of a day, mostly because your stops start getting kind of long. Not everybody has the same needs every time you have to make a stop. But your stops do get sort of long the bigger your group gets. But then it starts to limit your ability to go. And if you keep your days in something less than 500 miles, usually you're better off. I usually try to keep things at about 400 or less for most days riding, just because you're not wiping yourself out so much. You do have those delays that I mentioned, and you can still actually get to interesting places inside of a 400-mile radius. As far as the number of days that are good to go, I have found that rides that are longer than about 3 days, you start to have difficulties, especially the larger your group is. Groups that have maybe four or five, where your ride takes more than, where you're out more than 3 days, things start to break down. You start to get tired of each other. And that kind of depends on your group. I mean, if you're in a very tight-knit group that does already enjoy spending all this time together, that can be a different consideration. But typically, I found that after about 3 days, most people are pretty much done. There's a follow-up question, which is, do you prefer a cardio type communications or hand signals? My preference actually is hand signals. Although I do enjoy Cardo-style communication, actually, I use a Cardo myself. I like it when other riders in my group are also on Cardos. The network systems work exceptionally well. The benefit to Cardo systems a lot of times is that you can, one of the things that are important to me when I'm riding is that I am not a big fan of constant chatter. The reason that I ride is because I like to ride. And the benefit of the Cardo system is that you can be with others that also like to do that, but you don't have to stay with an open comm where your communication only is happening in your headset, that it can come in and out with your music. So I like to ride with music, but then get those communications when they need to happen. But if your communication, the thing that you need, can be handled with hand signals, for example, road captain giving a signal back into the group, rather than announcing that into the Cardo system, because sometimes those even can fail, better is to use those hand signals, that even if you're using the Cardo, still give the hand signal, so that if the Cardo is failing for whatever reason, or somebody is not paying attention or doesn't catch that communication, at least those hand signals are there as your primary source of information that's making it so that everyone can act and respond together. I think that the Cardo systems are kind of a crutch to that, what I would consider the primary, which is you just use those hand signals on the road, and everyone you're riding with should know what those hand signals are, so that when they see them, they know what they mean, and that they can appropriately pass them on down the line, so that everybody can be included. But yeah, long answer to that is, yeah, I enjoy the Cardo system, but I don't think it's a good idea as a primary source of getting information to the group. Hand signals are way more reliable. Looks like we're caught up on questions. We did have a pretty small group today as I'm looking at the concurrent viewer count and total viewers. The reason I'm changing up this format a little bit is mostly just to explore other options for the live stream. Typically on the channel, live streams are not high-level performers, so just simply changing things up because that is the case. But at any rate, I'll go ahead and close things off, but I appreciate everyone's viewership today and also the questions and comments that came in during the live stream. I'll get another live stream posted. It's probably not likely that I will do one every week for a while. When, I guess you can say, when there's a little more juice in the squeeze, maybe they'll happen a little bit more frequently, but until then, they'll be maybe monthly or a little bit more sporadic. But I will post them ahead of time so that you can see the schedule coming up on the channel, so that you'll see when they're scheduled to happen, and I'll make sure to jump on when they do. And that's how we'll proceed, at least for the next little while. Remember, check out those videos that are coming up in the future, the answering that question, why do bikers wear skulls? And also that collaboration that's coming up on Saturday. I'm sure you'll enjoy those a lot.